was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you.
Come on.
I was breathing but not alive.
Oh, hallelujah.
All my failures I tried to hide.
It was my tomb. Sing it.
It was my tomb till I met you.
That's right. Come on.
You called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day.
Oh, come on.
You called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness
into
your glorious day. Mercy has saved my soul. Freedom is all that I know. The old man knew Jesus when I met you. You called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name.
Oh, you.
And I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness to your glorious day.
Come on, if you're grateful, why don't you lift a hand to heaven and say thank you, Jesus, all over this place. Hallelujah.
I needed a rescue. My sin was heavy. Chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter. I was an orphan, but you called me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future. My eyes are open. This man you call my name. When you pull me out,
hey guys,
I will sing
good morning. Good morning. Hey, buddy.
Of your love come down.
Come on.
Oh, 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 oh. I once was blind, I could not see. Chains of sin had shackled me, but God in heaven heard my plea, and Jesus rescued me. Jesus, Jesus, rescue me. I will sing forever of your love. Come down with my hands to heaven, shout your praises now. I'm lost in darkness when you pull me out. Sing forever of your love. Come down. Floods my soul and hope eternal won't let go. My dead erased at Calvary when Jesus, Jesus rescued me. Jesus, Jesus rescued me.
And I will sing forever of your love come down.
And with my hands to heaven shout his praise.
When you pull me out, I will sing forever of your love. Come down
and whoa, 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 whoa. Now there's a hope beyond the sky. A song we'll sing for all of time. The grave is empty, I am free. 'Cause Jesus, Jesus rescued me. Come on. Jesus, Jesus rescued me.
Come on. I will sing forever of your love. Come down with my hands to heaven. Shout your praises loud. I was lost in darkness when you pulled me out. I will sing forever of your love. Come down.
And I will sing forever
of your love. Your praise is alive. I was lost in darkness when you pulled me out. I will sing forever of your love come down.
I will sing forever of your love come down.
Come on. I will sing forever of your love come down.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Us. Amen. Come on, you can do a whole lot better than that. Thank God we're saved. We're forgiven. On our way to heaven. Amen. It's awesome. I want, I know people that are routine people, you're already thrown out of whack right now, but that's fine. I'm not here to sing, trust me. I want the board members to join me on the platform, if you would please. And would you put that over there for me? Thank you, Paul. While we're standing, we want to just praise the Lord a little bit differently today. In 2012, we endeavored to build a 12,000 square foot children's facility. In 2007, no, I just told you two different dates. 2012, you get my age. I'm not going to start saying that. In 2012, we decided it's time to build a 12,000 square foot youth facility because Charleston's always had a heart for the next generation. And we had outgrown our current facilities for our children's ministry. And so we said, we don't have the money right now. We went out and we borrowed $750,000, and in a time that the economy was tanking, even in Maine. And we had a plan. Let's plan on paying this off in 7 years. And I only asked for you to help us twice. When we first started, we just felt this is what the Lord wanted us to do. Just give the people an opportunity to give on a weekly or monthly basis above and beyond what we make for a monthly payment. And when we did that, I asked that the first time, and I think I mentioned it one time after that. We said in 7 years we're going to pay this off. And we actually had to use more than that because that's when we did the northern parking lot. And we said in 7 years, so at the end of 2019, we'll pay the mortgage off. And I'm here to tell you today, we're not going to wait till the end of 2019. God has blessed us so much, we're burning the mortgage note today, 1 year ahead of time. Isn't that awesome? Come on, let's really rejoice. Praise God for that. It's awesome. It is so incredible. Incredible. If we would have taken out the 20-year mortgage, which obviously the credit union had hoped we would, we would have given an extra $312,000 in interest. So in other words, what I'm saying is, what we're doing today is not only meaning that we have now become a debt-free ministry, but we saved $312,000, and we're going to put that into reaching Jesus, reaching people of Jesus instead. Isn't that awesome? It's so great. We have a property in Bangor, which we expect to be sold very soon. And I'll remind you again, we are, as soon as that sells, and we expect that to happen very quickly, we are a debt-free ministry. Isn't that awesome? Let's give God one more thanks. Come join me. Rick Moore is the vice president of the credit union that we used. And he's grieving. He's not even here today. He's like, I'm not going to that. Now, he's probably away on business. I didn't even talk to him, but now you all know he's not here. So, but I want Walter Young to come. Walter, if it wasn't for Walter, this doesn't make sense. Any of you that are builders know that you can't build a 750,000 square foot modern facility for $750,000. But Walter Young oversaw the entirety of that, all volunteer, all given to the ministry, and I want him to do the burning today. I want you. You did all that work.
Can I do my happy dance?
Can you do your happy dance? That's a happy dance. That's my happy dance.
There you go. Careful now.
That's as Fortnite as I get right there, if you wondered what that was. So here you go. Obviously, we're not going to Broadway now, are we, you and I?
I don't think so.
All right, let's burn this puppy up. Let's get rid of $750,000, a building that God has given to us. Yeah. Come on, give God thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise. Done. Over. It's gone. Never looking back. Now, Lord, we ask that you help us to reach a generation that the enemy hates and is trying to destroy. But God, we believe you love it, and so do we. And we believe that the greatest generation is being brought up right now in the Epic Center. Not only that, but God, we commit, Lord, to reach more people for you than we ever have before. This is for your glory. This is for the reaching of people. We're free, God, to do more than we've ever done. Bless the people, God, that have been involved. Bless the people that have been helping. Bless the people that have participated. And I pray your greatest blessing will come upon this church that we've ever seen before. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's give God thanks for what he's doing, what he's about to do. In Jesus' name. Thank you, guys. Let's worship. Let's worship. Let's worship.
Every thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. You wear the victor's crown. You overcome. You overcome. Every odd thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. You wear the victor's crown. You overcome. You overcome. Every odd thing must come down. Stronghold shall be broken. You wear the victor's crown. You overcome. You overcome. You are always fighting for us. Heaven's angels all around. My delight is found in knowing that you wear the victor's crown. You're my help and my defender. You're my savior and my friend. By your grace I live and breathe to worship you. At the mention of your greatness, in your name I will bow down. 'Cause in your presence fear is silence, for you wear the victor's crown. Let your glory fill this temple, let your power overflow. By your grace to live and breathe, to worship you. Hallelujah. You have overcome, you have overcome. Hallelujah. Jesus, you have overcome the world. Yeah. Oh, yes, you have. Yeah. You are ever interceding as the lost become the found. You can never be defeated, for you wear the victor's crown. You are Jesus the Messiah, you're the hope of all the world. By your grace to live and breathe, to worship you. Hallelujah. 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 You have overcome, you have overcome. Hallelujah. Shall be broken. You wear the victor's crown. You overcome. You overcome. Every hard thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. You wear the victor's crown. You overcome. You overcome. At the cross your work was finished. You were buried in the ground, but the grave could not contain you, so you wear the victor's crown.
Oh, every hard thing, shout it out.
Every hard thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. You wear the victor's crown. You've overcome, you've overcome. Every hard thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. You wear the victor's crown. You've overcome, you've overcome. Every hard thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. You wear the victor's crown. You overcome. You overcome.
We praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I was thinking as we were burning that this morning, that that Epic Center has children there that will be missionaries that are in the Epic Center this morning. I believe there are some pastors out there this morning. I believe that there are business owners out there this morning. I know that God is moving in this house. I was thinking on Wednesday night that those teenagers that will be out in the Epic Center will be filled with the Spirit. Can we just thank God for what He's doing in Charleston Church this morning? We are so thankful. We're so thankful. Can you tell about two people we're thankful, and you may be seated. We're excited what God's doing. If you are visiting this morning, you can actually say, there is fire at that Pentecostal church. If you're visiting, we want to welcome you. We're so glad that you're here. Charleston Church, will you let our visitors know we're glad you're in the house? If you would take the connection card right in the seat in front of you and take that, fill it out, and put it in the offering, we are glad you're here. Everybody needs a good church. Amen? Amen. We just have a few announcements this morning. First Wednesday is November 7th. That's a service for the whole family. So from nursery all the way up, you need to just put that in your calendar. It is a great, great service. Amen? And we have something very special coming up on November 11th. If you are a veteran or you're in active duty, can you stand? Just stand up. Everybody, every veteran, everybody that's in the service, come on. We honor you. We honor you. And this church wants to honor you on November 11th. After service, we want to bless you and your family. And if you have children at home, bring them. We're going to have a meal for you after service. So, a barbecue. Thank you, honey. Yes, a barbecue. I hear this voice, and sometimes I think it's the Holy Spirit, but it's Pastor. Very close. Very close. So we want you to come. We want to honor you. That service is going to be a very unique service. The kids on the move will be coming out and singing. And I tell you, you won't want to miss it. It's going to be a great, great day. And if you'll show the video for 2019, the things that are coming up, that would be great.
Jesus Christ promised that he would build his church. He also promised that no power in hell will ever be able to stop it. When we are bringing hope to the hopeless, when we're bringing help to the poor, when we're training leaders for ministry, we are building his church. In 2019, we're going to continue our momentum of reaching locally and globally through our Project 19. Over 16% of Maine homes are struggling with hunger. Well, we want to do something about that. Safe Place Food Pantry this year will give out over 550 tons of food. We'll be able to minister to over 700 families in 2019. Plus, 70 children will go home with a backpack full of food each weekend during the school year. Fusion is our television outreach ministry. Every day through WABI, CW, KISS 94, and Facebook, we are connecting with over 12,000 homes right here in the state of Maine. In 2019, we're going to partner with Tiff Shuttlesworth. He's going to go to Alaska and minister to people who have never heard the gospel before. He'll travel to some of the most remote regions to bring the hope of Christ. In 2019, we're going to partner with Nate Pimentel as he goes to Chennai, India. There he'll hold an outdoor crusade in a city of over 10 million people. Faith Bible College International is becoming one of North America's premier Pentecostal Bible colleges. Students are coming from all over the world being trained for ministry. We want to make sure that we can add to the scholarship fund so that everyone that God calls gets an excellent training experience. Like I said, Jesus promised to build his church and nothing is going to stop it. We are so grateful for the opportunity that God has given to Charleston Church. For in 2019, we become one church in two locations. We will gather for worship right here in Charleston, and we're going to gather with another congregation in Sullivan. So we're Charleston Church, Charleston, Maine, and Charleston Church down east. We believe a revival is going to take place. We believe that every community in the state of Maine deserves a spirit-filled, soul-winning church. We're so grateful for the opportunity that we have to reach the orphans in Haiti. Orphans are really close to the heart of God. This coming year, we'll give out over 83,000 meals. We'll continue to see the work that we started this past year go forward. We're going to build a building that is large enough for 500 people to gather for worship, and it will be a feeding center. Together, we are able to support and make the kingdom grow through the doors that God has opened up for us. Thank you so much for partnering with us. 2019 is going to be the greatest year of ministry we've ever had.
Can I take that? Yeah, good, thank you.
That's awesome. That is awesome. No, not the video. I mean, what we're doing is awesome, is what I mean. If you would look in front of you, and those of you that this is your first time, this is an unusual service. But those of you that are here, would you look in front of you and take out one of these Project 19 cards? Just take it out and have that. Put it in your purse, put it in your coat, put it in your pocket, put it on your lap, wherever you want it to put that. But would you take that? And over the next few weeks, we're going to ask people to renew commitments and for people to make commitments. You know, over the last year, all that was done because people made commitments to our missions project. I like to, people confuse giving, you know, for a lot of reasons. But here's what the Bible breaks giving down to, is tithes and offering. Tithes are your love for God. Offerings are your love for people. That's the Bible in a nutshell. You've got to be really educated or greedy to mess that up. And so tithe is your love for God, but offerings are your love for the people. And we love our community, we love our church, we love our region. How many know that God's favorite state in the United States is the state of Maine? I'm going to say that till you believe it, all right? I'm going to say it till you believe it. It's my favorite state, so it's got to be God's favorite state. And so I'm going to ask you to take that. When we receive the offering, which we'll start right now, when we receive the offering, if you're ready to make that commitment, we've been talking about it a couple weeks, do it. But if you're not ready, there's no pressure. Over the next few weeks, we're just going to be talking to you about that. But if you want to make a commitment there throughout for the next year, when you do that, we'll figure out in a few weeks what the total will be, and then we'll make our commitments. Now, inevitably, every year, there are people that do it, but they don't sign up. I want to make commitments to our ministry partners, and I can't make those commitments if I don't know what you're going to do. So if you'll do that, prayerfully consider it, take it home, talk it over with your spouse, talk it over with your family, pray about it, ask God to speak to you, do what the Lord wants you to do. And you know that we have this habit around here that when we do something, we just pray and we say, Lord, what do you want to be done? He oftentimes puts a number or a project in our hearts, and we don't say anything because we don't want to be pressured. How many understand that a lot of the stuff that's going on today in raising money for the kingdom is not biblical? And this, the games and gimmicks and the pressure is not biblical. But we want to be a Spirit-led, generous church. So I'm going to ask you to just prayerfully ask the Lord what He wants you to do. And then if you're wondering what we've been doing, more details of last year, the gentleman at the back doors will have those flyers for you. You can take one home if you haven't got one yet. Somebody say a good amen. Amen. What kind of giver does the Lord love? A cheerful giver. Let's be happy about it today. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your generosity to us. We are so grateful for what you're doing here in our church. We pray, God, that you continue to move on the people of this place, Lord, because you have blessed us to be a blessing. And we remember that, and we acknowledge that today. We put you first in all of our lives, including our finances. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Amen. Now, for those that have been giving to the legacy fund, we call it, to help pay off the Epic Center, you don't have to do that anymore. I don't know how many preachers you've heard say that, but you don't have to give anymore. You don't like it, so I'm not going to say it again. But I did say it that one time, all right? And if you want to transfer that giving, if you want to keep giving to missions, or if you just want to give whatever, you can. I'm just saying we don't need to put that towards the mortgage anymore. We're so glad to have Eric Brakey. Senator Eric Brakey is with us today, and he is in the running. Have you seen his commercials? He's been running. He's been running. I mean, literally. I don't mean just for office. Literally, the man has been running. And we gave him an oxygen mask when he got to my office, and he could be able to run for the next few days. But would you give our state senator and running for U.S. Senate, Eric Blakey, a great welcome. Welcome, Eric, to be with us today. Please, on your way out, stop by and say hello to Eric and Matt. And these are great guys. I got to meet them before the service. And our prayers are with you. Our prayers are with you. And we need good people leading good people. A lot of great people in the state. How many understand Mainers deserve good leadership? Amen. Mainers deserve good representation. And if you've already gotten your info in the mail to vote an absentee ballot, use it. Vote now. Vote now. When should you vote? And if you don't do that through absentee voting, make sure that you're making plans right now. Put it on your schedule to vote. Yeah. I want a better amen. Make plans to vote. Yeah. Turn to your neighbor and say, you better vote. I'm coming after you. I'm coming after you. If you don't vote, I'm coming after you. I'm praying right now your pipes freeze if you don't vote. That's mean right there. That's tough talk right there, isn't it? Oh, I'm going to vote then, if that's what that's going to mean. All right. Let's stand together and open our Bibles. Let's stand together and open our Bibles, if you would, please. To the book of Matthew. To the book of Matthew, if you would turn there with me. Had a great Fall Fest last night. And what a great crowd here. I know there's a lot of people still without power this morning, so I'm grateful that you're here. Last night, as you know, we got our first mess weather-wise, and I left my house. Fall Fest started at 5. I got here at 5:30, and as I was coming, there were cars off the road on the way up, and I guess after, just as I came, they shut the road down. I thought, boy, I bet there'll be 12 cars in the parking lot. I felt so bad. Guylene Bean, a volunteer, spent 60 hours setting up for Fall Fest this year, and I thought, oh, that work, all the people and all the money. And when I got here, the parking lot was 2/3 full. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. It was just crazy. People are crazy. People are crazy about their kids getting crazy on candy. And so I'm gonna start raising a candy fund for every Sunday during the winter. And if that works, we'll even do it during the summer. But people care about their kids, and they know it's a great event. So I can't imagine. When I walked in the Epic Center, it was packed with kids and visitors and community people and our own kids, and had an army of volunteers like I haven't seen out there, and the tear down, the clean up between our people and the college students. Let's give a good thanks to all of our volunteers. Made it a great event. Thank you. Thank you. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Matthew, if you would, please. Matthew, oh, you're probably already there. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Again, please stop by and see Eric Blakey after the service out in the foyer. I know you'll be glad that you have met him, and get to say hi and ask some questions if you need to. All right? Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom, and he healed every kind of disease and illness. Stop right there. This is what Jesus did. This is what Jesus does. This is what the church should do. Teach, preach, and heal. That's what the church is called to, still teach the doctrines of the Bible. Preaching is still necessary. The announcement that Jesus is risen from the dead, the devil is defeated, and we are forgiven. Amen. That's the announcement of preaching that we should make. And then healing. If anywhere there ought to be people being healed, it ought to be in the local church. Amen? All right. That's the ministry of Jesus. That's it. So easy. Verse 36 says this. Okay, you got me now because I can't pull it up on my iPad. Oh, here we go. Thank you. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Verse 37. He said to his disciples, the harvest is great. Now stop right there. Remember what I told you last week? In one sentence, Jesus says these are broken people. People that nobody wants or cares about. In the next sentence, Jesus calls the people that are broken valuable because he calls them a harvest. I'm going to tell you today, the people in our communities and around the world that others say are valueless, God sees them as valuable. Why? It makes sense. Jesus said, one soul is worth more than all the silver and gold in the world. So if God sees people that way, we should see people that way. Verse 38. So pray, Verse 38 says, so pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. Somebody say, pay the price. The harvest, I need your attention today. The harvest in God's mind is the saving, the teaching, and the healing of souls. But Jesus makes it very clear, and I'm going to preach something that is anti-social Christianity in America. In order for that to happen, somebody has to pay a price. Jesus, I pray that you'll speak through this mortal vessel, but God, speak to every one of us by your Spirit today. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing for God's Word. Praise God. Excuse me, I'm getting my notes from my iScroll. I thought that was funnier than you reacted, but I'm kind of used to it now. In the 1500s, the Darer brothers had 18 siblings. And very, very poor. Dad was a goldsmith in the 1500s, and the two brothers wanted to go to this college where they could learn art. But they both know they were so poor that they made this agreement that one would stay at home and work in the mines to pay for the other brother to go to college. And then once the other brother had gone to college, he would come back and work in the mines so both brothers could be educated while one was paying the price. One was named Albert and the other name was Albrecht. Which telling the story would be so much easier if they'd have been Albert and Ernie. But they flipped a coin and Albrecht won. And when he graduated from school, he went off to college to be trained, and Albert stayed home and worked the mines. After Albert graduated, he came back and he was famous. Even before he graduated, he was famous. He had notable works of art. And when he came to home to a small town, the people held a banquet for him. And he lifted a cup up for the toast, and he explained how Albert stayed home and worked so that Albrecht could go and be educated. And now it was Albrecht's turn to stay home and work, and Albert could go and be trained. After the banquet was over, Albert walked up to his trained brother and said, "Thank you for that, but I can't go. My years of working in the mines has resulted in every one of my fingers being broken. Arthritis has set in, and I couldn't even hold the glass for the toast today. You just go on and do what you're trained to do." Albrecht was so moved by his brother's sacrifice that he went on to paint this painting, and I want you to see it on the screen. Many of you would know it as the Praying Hands. But actually, And though that would be accurate, he really wrote that as a reminder that of all of his success, somebody paid the price to do what he's doing. I think if you were to look over the history of this church and the history of God's church, you would find that image across. People have paid the price. The reason you're here today is that somebody paid the price. When I think about this, I think about, and you can get the notes at the At Church 11A, but when I think about this, I think a few thoughts. Number one, that Jesus has paid the price. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 17, "And remember that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of him during your time here as temporary residents." Verse 18. "For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb. I read that like I've never read it before this week. He didn't say that he'd spilled his, lost his blood. He called it the precious blood. 2,000 years ago, God in heaven, surrounded, please let your imagination go there, surrounded with everything that is appropriate for the existence of God. The angels in their worship, the choirs, the atmosphere, the streets of gold, the mansions, the sinlessness, no pain, no sorrow, a place fit for the King of Kings. And yet something inside him said, I cannot stay here. I have something on earth that cannot allow me to enjoy this without being connected to them. Oh, he tried conscience, giving man conscience, but that wasn't enough. He gave man law and rules, but that wasn't enough. He gave them prophets and kings and miracles and signs and wonders, and that didn't work. And so he said, the only thing that will work, because I'm not satisfied with just trying, I'm going to give my best. And 2,000 years ago, Jesus entered the human race through the virgin womb of Mary and entered himself into a pain and a process of paying the price. And what death tried to destroy for thousands of years, in 3 days, Jesus rose from the grave and destroyed the power of death, hell, and the grave to pay the price. Come on, somebody. Give him a better thanks. He did it for you. For me, for all mankind. That's why it's not a sacrifice to go to his house and worship. It's the only appropriate response. And the Bible says he didn't just do what he had to do, he gave his precious blood. It tells me he didn't just get by. Isaiah called Jesus in prophecy the precious cornerstone. I'm telling you, God could have, I'm convinced that God could have done less to save mankind, but he didn't. He gave his precious life. Imagine if, I'm just looking on who I want to pick on today. Imagine if the Nickersons said, or somebody, if I said to the Nickersons, I'm going to give you a dream vacation. Where would it be? Where would you guys, where would be, go ahead, Levi. Where would be your dream vacation? God travels all over the world now. But home is his dream vacation. Well, okay, Mom, what's your dream vacation? The Bahamas. Imagine if I said to the Nickersons, I'm gonna send you to the Bahamas. I'm going to put you in first class. Now, if you don't fly first class, we don't fly first class. But one time we were traveling home and the plane was full and they bumped us up to first class. Look at me, folks. There is a difference. The first difference is you have a place to put your legs. There is a difference. And I said to them, you're flying first class. They go to this exotic resort in the Bahamas. They get off the plane. Somebody's standing there with a tux and a top hat with their name. Little Patriots emblem on it. And they take their bags. They're just walking to a limo full of Twinkies and Mountain Dew. Oh, my dream. Okay, yours. And they ride this limo to the most beautiful resort in the Bahamas. They get out. They hear the island music. People are running to the car. Oh, we're so glad you're here. Let me carry your bags. Here's some juice and here's some refreshments. And the air smells different than Corinth. And they walk them and everybody's happy that they're there. They're smiling and treating them like rock stars. They take them, and Levi opens the door, and whoa, the most beautiful room You walk out and you open the glass door, there's a deck and a hot tub, and you can see the ocean. It's sand and sun and beach, and there are no kids. All the food they can eat, the best food ever made. They unpack their stuff. They just start walking around. All the excursions are paid. You can go deep sea diving. You can go on the zip line. You can go jet skiing. You can go fishing. You can go whatever. Take a nap. Day one goes in. Wow, this is awesome. What a great pastor we have. Day two, they start seeing some of this. Oh, this is so. Day three, stress is now just dripping out of the end of their fingers. They feel so good. Thursday morning, day four, they get a phone call. One of the little ones is sick. Graham and Grandpa are taking them to the emergency room. They don't know what's going on. The doctor's very concerned. And in an instant, all of the beauty and the perfection of where they are means absolutely nothing. Immediately, they don't fold, they throw everything into luggage. They immediately pay whatever it costs to change their plane ticket. And they'll ride any seat. If it's right, the back of the plane, it doesn't matter. Suddenly they don't see the room. They don't see the beach. They don't sense the applause of people around them. They don't feel all of a sudden just pressure. They couldn't stay there if you paid them. Because suddenly the love of something away from where they're at dissolves the beauty of the place that they're currently abiding. And they make a mad dash to get home to do anything they can without apology, without remorse. My friends, that is minuscule compared to the place that Jesus Christ left 2,000 years ago. He couldn't enjoy the angels. He couldn't enjoy the mansions. He couldn't enjoy the perfection. Why? Because He loves you. He loves me. He loves humanity. He thought it not a crime or robbery to leave it all to have a relationship with you. He paid the price. Is anybody glad that we serve a God that would do that? The Bible says in Hebrews, for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. But 1 Thessalonians 2 helps us to realize that not only did God pay a price, but He expects His people to pay a price. Oh, now, we're not going to be preaching the American gospel this morning. Oh, now you're not going to get TV preaching. I believe that there are lots of people here that genuinely want to be a real Christian, not a Sunday morning Christian. And our world will not be won by cultural Christians, seasonal Christians. Our world will be won by real. How many want to be the real deal? How many of you want to be? I know you do. I know. That's why I'm preaching this. The Bible declares very clearly that we are called to pay a price. Now relax, the offering was already taken. And if you think it's money, it's because you have a money issue. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 9, that hurt. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? The Bible states very plainly that once the believer dies, they will still face a judgment. They will stand before God, and every action and every attitude and every word and every opportunity or missed opportunity will be revealed before. And the Bible says that there will be not only an entrance for us knowing, hey, we're going to end up in heaven, but the Bible says that there will be crowns given out for appropriate different prices that were paid. I think that everybody wants to go to heaven, but they don't understand. The way you enjoy heaven is not going to be the same as everybody else. There are different levels of hell. There are different levels of heaven. And the way you live in heaven will be determined by the price you pay on the earth. The Bible there says the crown of rejoicing is the crown for soul winners. I don't want to go to heaven and spend eternity without remembering that I had the crown of a soul winner placed on my head. Soul winning is to Christianity exactly what heat is to fire. But the Bible says that there will be a reward for people who don't sing about soul winning, who don't nod to soul winning, who don't say amen to soul winning, but are involved in soul winning. And as a pastor, I will stand judgment for everything I preach to you. That's why I take it seriously. And I'm telling you, I want to stand on that day, and I want to look over the crowd of Charleston Church, and I want to see every one of us wearing crowns of rejoicing. Someone sowed, someone shared, someone discipled, somebody gave, somebody drove a bus, somebody helped in the hospitality. Everybody, it's one sows, one waters, one gets the harvest, but everybody begins to become a part of soul winning. My question is, what are you doing? Maybe you do a lot of work, but that's people come to Christ on Sunday morning. You're as much a soul winner as I am. But the Bible makes it very clear. I need to preach to you the truth that being a Christian, salvation is free, but living the life has a price. Come on, somebody say a good amen. Amen. I know you know this. The Bible says that Ezekiel, the prophet in the Old Testament, had become so disturbed by the cultural sin and the religious deadness of his day that God said, I got to get involved in this preacher's life or he's going to hurt some people. And so God spoke to him. He said, the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness and turmoil. He was an angry preacher. How many know angry preachers can be tough to deal with? Don't raise your hand. Okay, that was smooth right there. Because I've been one. But the Lord's hold on me was strong. Look what God did to this angry preacher. Look what God needs to do to angry Christians. Verse 15. I came to the colony of the Judean exiles in Tel Aviv and beside Kibar, the river, and I was overwhelmed, and I sat with them for 7 days. I think we need to do a whole lot less posting and a whole lot more sitting. I think we need to do a whole lot less sharing and a whole lot more praying. Because people who will not take the time to feel what others feel will never be able to heal the broken people of our culture. Ezekiel, God knows that the only way he's going to change his heart to reach a generation is that Ezekiel's got to pay the price to feel what the people feel. I'd ask you to pray right now. This is not a sermon. This is God speaking to us as a church. Would you begin to pray right now? Lord, give me a heart of compassion. Would you please? Right out loud. Come on, begin. Everybody. Lord, give this preacher a tender heart. God, give this congregation, give this staff, give our board, give our leadership, give our membership a heart that does not try to get compassionate, but a heart that beats with a compassion revolution in Jesus' name. Somebody say a good amen. Amen. I was moved. Maybe you're hearing and saying, boy, this is kind of a sober message. Come back next week. That's all I can tell you. Just keep coming back. I was moved this week. I had a meal with Tiff and Judy Shuttlesworth and his brother and sister-in-law.
And I hope I don't botch the story up too much, but in essence, from what I understand, in Alaska, where he's been and he'll go again, we partner with him. A superintendent, if it wasn't the first one, one of the early superintendents in the Assemblies of God, traveled, dog sled, wagon, had to camp out overnights, fought bears and wolves and wolverines. Oh, God, give us great, real men preachers again. And did you see that right there? I just backed right away from that. That's a lot of wisdom. I'm growing. I'm growing as a person. I'm proud of myself. And this man traveled from community to community all over Alaska. In his elderly days, there was a youth convention, a youth meeting for the Assemblies of God, and they asked him to come speak, and this elderly man got up and spoke and preached to all these young kids. And then at the end of the message, he stepped out of his shoes and said, "My ministry is done. I won't be here for another year. Who's going to fill my shoes?" And he walked off the stage. He didn't know, but in that crowd was a teenage boy who was backslidden, knew God, but ran as far from him as he possibly could. The only reason he came to the meeting was to see some old friends. While that backslidden teenager sat in that service and listened to that old man talk, the Holy Spirit gripped his heart so strong that he ran through the crowd up onto the platform and laid on those shoes and said, "I'll do that." Today, that young man pastors one of the biggest churches in Alaska. Because one generation paid the price and the next one got a chance to. I want to pay the price. I was sitting with Bishop Rick Thomas this week, and he told us, Evander Holyfield goes to his church down in southern Florida. Evander Holyfield. Evander Holyfield has given $35 million in tithe to churches. How many would let him come to Charleston for a few? And Evander Holyfield, what a great fighter. And he tells the story, he told his men's group this. Evander was raised in just an awfully, just terrible home and had no chance at life. Just what was another statistic. But there was a local YMCA and he walked up and he had no hope for life. And he said this. Evander Holyfield says there was a big fat white woman sitting behind the desk. If you don't know anything about boxing, Evander is black. Okay. So Evander's a little boy, he walks up and says, "I want to become a part of the YMCA." And the woman said, "It'll cost you 25 cents. And his head went down. He knew he couldn't get 25 cents. And so this is what he said. He said, she reached into her bra. You're not sleeping now. And pulled out a little wallet and took a quarter out and said, "If anybody needs it, you do." And he says that changed his life because that introduced him to boxing. That woman, it didn't seem like a big price, but she paid a price and it changed that man's life. Sometimes we think it has to be great, big, grandiose, life change. No, if you just give God your life and if you give him the big and the small, guess what? God can take little and make much happen if you're willing to pay the price. Come on, anybody happy? I want to pay the price. I want to pay the price. I want God to do something in us that changes us. This church is here because people for 90 years. How many understand this is not the average situation? In a little town, the church like this. This church, an unusual church does not become unusual because people do usual things. An unusual church is made up of people who are willing to do more than what's expected. And so, just these thoughts came to me this week. Number one, it's coming on the screen. Jesus paid the price. Followers of Jesus pay the price. But there's a price for our generation. I want you to hear this. I know it's not, you know, hugs and rubbing your fur, but it's preaching still. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus gives a mini prophecy conference. If you're a student of the Bible, you know that Matthew chapter 24, he begins to tell all the things that will happen in the last days.
Now, there are over twice as many scriptures that foretell the second coming of Christ than foretold the first coming of Christ. So if you believe Jesus came the first time, you have to believe he's coming again. And he gives, in Matthew 24, an outline of all the things that will happen before his return. And if you were to go to read that this afternoon and you have any idea of the news, you would have to say that Matthew 24 is basically a preprint of the news that's happening in 2018. Jesus is coming very soon. Amen. No, you didn't get it. I said Jesus is coming very soon. Amen. I didn't say that. The Bible said it. But something shook me this week. As I read Matthew 24, and it's fantastic how God, 2,000 years ago, could see things before they even were close. But then something really got a hold of me. Immediately after he gives his mini prophecy conference, he tells three stories. And I've never connected the three stories like this to his prophecy teaching. He gives three stories of the wise wedding attendants. One story is that. The next story is the wise investor. And the next story is the caregiver. And I began to realize, Lord, that's the price of my generation. Because my generation, our generation, will see the coming of the Lord. So what do you want your last generation to pay the price for? Oh, I began to read it. And the first price we find is there's a wedding, and weddings back then were so much like weddings today, you never know when the bride and groom are going to show up. And in the Jewish tradition, that they never knew when the groom was coming to town. And so they had to make sure that they had enough juice and finger sandwiches and they had to have oil in their lamps so that they could have light. And Jesus says, he went to a wedding one time and there were five wedding attendants that had just enough oil to just barely get by. And he called them foolish. And then there were five wedding attendants that not only had enough to get by, but they had more than what they needed. In fact, the Bible says in Matthew 25, verse 13, so you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or the hour of my return. What Jesus is saying, if you can make yourself pay attention, please do so. What he's saying is, the price that must be paid for the last day generation is that you can't live on just enough faith to get by. You're going to need something more than Sunday morning religion and Christmas and Easter attendance. I need something Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I need something my kids can catch. I need something the lost want. I need to have a baptism of the Holy Ghost. Casual this casual Christianity is not going to change our nation. The price we've got to pay is I'm not going to just do church and then forget it. My price is going to pay. I'm going to live this thing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I'm not taking a break. I'm not giving God the summer off because the devil doesn't give me the summer off. I'm going to serve him. I'm going to serve him in my home. I'm going to serve him where I work. I'm going to serve him where I play. I'm not a Christian on Sunday and something else on Tuesday. I'm a blood-bought, born-again believer. I eat this stuff, read this stuff, live this stuff. Let the lukewarm, backslidden Christians be noticed and be called to an altar of repentance and give your heart back to God. The second price that will be paid by our generation is that we'll be willing to give our lives. Let me stop right there. I'll move on. The second price that will be paid is that we will be willing to use our lives to reach people and let our lives increase. The Bible tells, the next story, Jesus says there, a boss that had three employees and he gave one five talents. Let's call it five $100 bills just for ease. One got five 100s, two got two 100s, and one got 100. And the owner said, I'm going off, I'm coming back, you make money. When he came back,
He found the one that he gave five, and he used it and doubled it. He found the one that he gave two, and he doubled it. He found the one that had 100, and he buried it. He sat on it. He said, I'm too old. He said, I don't have enough time. He said, I'm too busy. He said, this doesn't matter. He said, I'm not that good. I have a past. I just can't use what I have for God. Look what God said to the man who used his money. To the servant whom he had trusted five, came forward and gave him five more. Master, you gave me five bags of silver to invest, and I have earned five more. I've done what you wanted me to. Verse 21. And the master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling the small amount, so now I'll give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. Isn't that beautiful? This is a command for us to not, and it's not just money. And if everything you think I talk about is money, it's because you have a greed issue. What I'm telling you is that God has given you a life, and God has given you abilities, and God has given you talent. And if you'll only do it if you're getting paid, you know what that makes you? If you'll only do it for compensation, then you're not using it for the glory of God. Use what you have so that you can be a blessing to hurting and lost and dying people. I sat with Cindy Shorey last night. Cindy works in Kids on the Move. And we were talking, and I said, Cindy, I feel like I want you to tell me your story. And I want you to do all the details, but you wouldn't know by looking at her. But Cindy, her dad moved her and her sister and brother to Maine, and when they came here, he didn't want anything to do with her. Her mom didn't want anything to do with her. Some of you can relate with the story. And so there was a man in town that was trying to help Cindy, and Pastor Libby heard of Cindy, and Cindy was 10 years old with nowhere to live. So Pastor Libby said, you can come to our house, and she lived there for a little while, and then her dad said, I want her back. So her dad took her back. When a very short period later, said, I don't want you in my house anymore, and sent her to a boarding home in Bangor. Can you imagine living 1/2 hour from your parents and they don't want you? Pastor Libby did everything he could to get Cindy out of that home. This is not somebody in another country. It's somebody in our church. And said, and her mother wouldn't do anything. Said, I don't want anything to do with you. And her mother wouldn't release her. She got married to Tim, and boy, that was trouble. She thought she had it bad before that. She said, Dad, I want you to walk me down the aisle for my wedding. And he said, I won't do it. I'm going to tell you right now, friends, I don't know of a person on the planet that has the heart of Cindy Shorey. Cindy Shorey sat there and told me last night after all the place was cleaned up late, and she says, I just don't want people to go through what I went through. And so I went to Central Middle School here a few years ago, and Cindy works there, and she's got a little boy. What's the little boy's name that she helped? Do you remember? She's helped so many. Well, the one day I saw her, she helped a boy. I would say he was mentally handicapped. He could not see, he could not hear, and he couldn't verbalize it, just grunts. She walked around with that little boy outside that lawn like he was Prince Harry. She made him feel like $1 million. Little boy couldn't reciprocate anything, just grunts of sound coming out of his body. Couldn't learn, couldn't grow. But something inside of her said, I've got an ability born out of tragedy that I will not bury under excuses and blame somebody else for my past. I'm going to take what I have and I'm going to use it to reach somebody so that they don't have to feel what I felt. That's in our church. That's in our church. Nearly every Sunday morning, she nearly fills an entire Sunday school van and brings little kids to church. Why? Because out of tragedy, something was birthed in her. He said, I cannot be a wicked, slothful servant. I've got to use what I've been through, and I've got to use what I can do so that I can reach some people. There are Sunday school teachers, youth workers, bus drivers, hospitality choir. There are people all over the place with stories. I'm just telling you, don't bury what you got because you don't have time, or you're too old, or you're too broke, or you got a pass. No, use it for the master. And if you'll use what you've got, he'll give you more. This is our generation's price to pay. Our price to pay is to live overflowing faith, faith on fire. Our generation is to use every talent we have to reach people. But there's also another price that our generation is supposed to pay. It's the price of a caregiver. Jesus goes on to tell the story, and really directly he's talking about in the last days, those who help the Jewish people will receive great reward. And how many of you have hearts so totally grieved for those that were killed in the synagogue in Pittsburgh this week, yesterday? Savage anti-Semitic hatred is in our nation. It's in our capital. I'm not saying I'm just saying there are politicians that hate the Jewish people. I don't care how many people hate them, God still loves them. The Bible says the nation that blesses Israel will be blessed, and the nation that curses them will be cursed. That's a curse from God you don't want. But we can also bring this to the illustration. And he says there'll be a judgment day where people will be judged by how they take care of those who are naked, poor, and in prison. Look at Matthew chapter 25, the next verse. The righteous ones will reply, because he'll say to them, you helped me when I was sick, when I was naked, when I was hungry. And we will say, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? Verse 39, this is what will, when did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth, when you did it to the one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. Safe Place Food Pantry, every mouth you feed is the mouth of Jesus. Everybody in that orphanage, the missions team, and us as a church, and the Sunday school department feeding, giving over 83,000 meals over the past year, every mouth is the mouth. Why do you think we paid off our debt early? Because we've been feeding Jesus. It's not a financial scheme. It's the blessing of God. Carrie, I almost called you Carrie Dunphy. I mean Carrie Libby, which is her maiden name, which I remember when Pastor Libby always used to call all these ladies their maiden names. I used to think, well, it must be awful to get old. And now I'm calling all these women by their maiden names. Carrie Carr works at a local public school. This week, walked into the teacher's lounge, and the teacher... I purposely intended not. It's hunting season. I can't be emotional. Because these are things that are happening. You'll drive by these homes today. Carrie went into the teacher's lounge. The teacher was talking about this home where these children had to be rescued out of their home locally because of abuse. They had to go in at midnight and rescue these children out of our own community. And the teacher said this, I don't know anyone else that can help us help them but Charleston Church. Carrie just happened to walk in and said, I think we can get you connected. When Carrie walked in with the coats, we gave the kids choices. Come on now. And one of the little kids says, that's the coat I've always wanted. And took that one. I feel like throat punching the devil. I feel like just sounding the alarm to say the days of the enemy having free reigns to destroy the generation has come to an end right now. We're going to get more busy than we've ever been before. We're going to start making excuses and we're going to start making differences. Come on, somebody. Thank God that he gives us these opportunities. time to get serious. I wouldn't trade doing ministry for being the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. This is the best job that's ever been given to man. Only other thing I know how to do is make pizzas, and I don't make that much money at it. This is the best gig I've ever had. You know why? It's not because of that. It's because we get to do the Master's business. There is no hope but the hope that Jesus Christ gives, and we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Come on, give God thanks that we're going to make the biggest difference ever. Praise Almighty God. Come on, praise Almighty God, from whom all blessings flow, the compassionate, merciful Savior. He's using us this day and hour. Whew. Whew. Come on, somebody. I know that's some heavy stuff, but I think you ought to be rejoicing, because we're not on the losing side. We're on the winning side. We're not living just to be overcomers. We are more than overcomers. We're not just trying to be members. We're trying to be kingdom participants. We're not just trying to check the box and get what we need to get done. We're trying to do more than we've ever done before. Because if you want an unusual harvest of souls, then you've got to be able to pay an unusual price to do it. I believe that God is using us to do it. I said, I believe that God is using us to do it. We don't do this to be recognized. At little town meetings all around the area, they'll talk about Safe Place Food Pantry, making the difference in the town. The word is getting out. There's people in there that actually have enough faith to do something with it. We are not a social organization. We are a miracle extension of heaven. We are the body of Christ. We are His hands. We are His feet. We are His voice. We are His body. Let's let God fill us one more time so that people can be healed, taught, and saved. I talked to my wife yesterday. I make this announcement to you. I said, honey, I want to pay the price. I want us to not ever be comfortable, but let us always live in that fine balance of we're blessed, but I want to pay the price. I don't want to be a casual. I don't want to be normal. I don't want us to slip off. You know, they're selling churches left and right throughout the state of Maine. That will never happen here if Jesus Christ is the center of what we do. I prophesy it to you today, if Jesus remains the center of what we do, we'll buy those buildings and we'll put church people in those pulpits, we'll put preachers in those places. Come on! And Maine shall be saved. With every last breath we have, let it be, Maine will be saved. May they start turning the statistics around. That we're the second least state, Christian state in the United States. Let us turn it around and let's say, Lord, let's make us the most Christian state in the United States. And every person that wants to give their breath, that's the greatest way I know how to do it, say it, that every person says, I'll give my life to be God's hand extended. I want to pay the price. Just lift a hand right now to heaven. And just make a motion towards God. With every head bowed and every eye closed, raise a hand toward heaven and just begin to make a commitment to God right where you're seated. If you're watching online, make this commitment to God right where you're seated. Oh, Lord, I will offer my life. I today decide I will pay the price. Come on, go ahead, right out loud. Tell God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll be what you want me to be. I will be your hand extended to this culture in Jesus' name. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, before we go any further in this service, you're here today and you had no idea that God left such beauty of heaven and died on the cross because of such love for you. Maybe you thought, when you came in here today, invited, that God was mad at you, that God was angry at you. That thought must leave your mind right now. When you begin to see the cross, that empty cross, the cross that represents the death of Jesus, You've got to know that he came because he's madly in love with you. But the only way that justice could be served was somebody had to pay the price for my sin, your sin, and the sins of the world. And so his death was what it took. Interesting, he set the system up. He set the system up for him to die. When I was young, my mom used to sing, he grew the tree that he knew would be used for the cross of Calvary. God has had a plan in his mind from all eternity to come and get involved in your life and to usher you into complete forgiveness, to be a part of his family. He's had a long-term plan, and I believe that he brought you here because that's part of his plan today, to come to be a Christian. Not asking you to be a believer. The Bible makes it very clear that believing in God doesn't make you a Christian. And boy, it explains it well, because the scripture says even demons believe in God. So believing is not entrance into the family of God. Believing is a starting point. But receiving is the entry. It's very simple. God made it simple. How you enter, how you receive him is, one, you admit you're born a sinner. The Bible states that everybody, rich or poor, male or female, black or white, are born separated from God because of the sin that transfers to every generation. Admit it. Two, believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, for me. He took the suffering to give you the blessing. Number three, confess Jesus is Lord. He died for you publicly. He wants you to receive him publicly. The Bible makes it very clear that we must not be ashamed of our faith. Our faith is not a private one. Private faith is unbiblical. Bible faith. It might be American, but it's not biblical. Bible faith is a public one. You say, I'm going to accept him publicly, because God wants what's inside of you to get on the inside of others. It's A, B, C. Admit, believe, and confess. If that's you today, you've never prayed that prayer, you've never asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, today's your day. It's a decision. Or maybe you've drifted from God. You've drifted far from God. And today you say, I'm tired of living that way. For whatever reason, it doesn't even matter what got you to that point. What matters is how you get out of it. You get out of it by receiving a fresh commitment, making a fresh commitment to Christ. If you're in one of those two, just raise your hand nice and high, long enough for me to see you, and then you can put your hand back down. If that's you, just raise your hand up high enough for me to see it, then you can put it back down. Look across the floor from section to section, up into the balcony. Is there anybody here that said, today I need to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior? Today's the day I want to come to him. Believe that he's brought me here to bring me into a relationship with him. Who is that that's here today? Say, that's me. I want to receive Jesus as my Savior. God bless you, little lady. God bless you. Is there anyone else? You can stay right where you're at. Little lady, can I pray with you? Can I pray with you? I can. Can I come to you? Would that be all right? You'd love it? Come here. What's that? Your husband passed away? You were in the wheelchair over here.
Yes.
Oh, he was in the wheelchair.
Yes.
Your husband was coming in the wheelchair. And when did he pass away?
It's been 5 months.
It's been 5 months. Wow.
It's so hard to communicate.
It's hard to communicate.
It's very hard.
Well, there's other people here that can relate to that. You're doing fine. That's my heart just went out to you. I'm coming to you because I want you to see. I'm not God, trust me. I'm not even,
you know.
Okay, good. Okay, well, you admitted that pretty quickly.
Someday I'll go to heaven where my husband is. I'll be going
someday
to
you'll go to heaven where your husband is.
That's right. I can't wait.
There's nothing better than knowing you'll see your loved ones again.
Yes.
And today we're going to make that happen.
And my mom's turning 89, February the 7th.
Okay.
She's getting up there. And
she 60, is getting up there.
I'm 66.
Oh, 66? He was 75.
He wanted to be 74.
He did.
Be young.
He wanted to be 74 young.
He wanted to be real
Yeah.
Yeah, you hear that, Dalton?
Yeah.
Yeah, young.
He did.
What's your first name?
Alice Kingsbury.
Jesus loves you more than you'll ever, ever know. Not until you get to heaven will you really know it. I'm going to pray this prayer. We're going to pray it together, okay?
I've been very sick.
You've been sick? I'm going to ask God to heal you after we pray, okay? Just pray this prayer with me. We do it family style. Let's pray together, church.
Dear Jesus,
thank you for loving me.
You love me enough
to die on the cross,
to pay the price,
the punishment
for my sins.
I was born a sinner,
far from you.
But I believe when you died on the cross,
you had me on your mind.
Please forgive me. Wash me clean. I receive a brand new heart.
I'm not ashamed
to be called a child of God.
I'm forgiven.
And I'm part of your family. In Jesus' name, I'm thankful.
Amen.
Now, Lord, I pray that you'll touch this body right now in the name of Jesus. Every area that any sickness has been, any area that's been in discomfort or pain, in the name of Jesus Christ, the same faith that brings us salvation is the same faith that brings us healing today. So I pray that you'll touch this body, be healed from every disease and every problem in your body in Jesus' name. Everybody say a good amen.
Amen.
Come on, let's thank God and praise God for our precious sister. Have a card. Fill a card out with her. Jesus said, the good shepherd leaves the 99 for one sheep.
Amen.
How many of you think you ought to do the same thing as well? Every person that says, I want to be used by God, and we're going to conclude, I really want to be an instrument of God. That's the end of this series here, and this is kind of like our time to really get us outward focused, and ministry, we'll just do ministry like we do from here on out. But how many just would say, I'm willing to yield my life for the benefit of other people? We just stand together for the cause of Christ. For the cause of Christ. I surrender for the cause of Christ. Thank you, Lord. You know, we raise our hands. It's biblical to raise your hands in worship, but it's also biblical to raise your hands in surrender. I would encourage you, if you physically can, just raise your hand and surrender to God and say, my life is yours. Go ahead. Come on, my life is yours.
My life.
Come on, let's just have a moment of consecration right now.
I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Oh, I give myself away so you can use me. For my life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you.
This is beautiful in God's eyes. Just go ahead and surrender.
My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you. For my life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you. Oh, my life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you. I give myself away.
Come on, sing it, church.
Oh, I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away.
God, pour out your spirit on us today.
Oh, I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away.
Would you let the Holy Spirit do something in this place today? Come on. Something for our church. Something for our witness.
So
may God reactivate some of the soldiers of Christ. May He reactivate some anointings in this place. Let there be 1,000 soul winners raised up in this place.
Give myself away.
So you My life is not my own.
My life is
Come on, let's
not
surrender
my
to
own.
Him right now, everything.
To you I belong. I give myself to you. For my life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you. Self away. Oh, I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away.
Yes, Lord.
I give myself away so you can use me.
There was, let me just say this real quick. I read of an Indian prince that was riding through his town and went through the homeless part. He was on the royal elephant with a royal garb, and he saw a homeless man with a bowl of rice. He stopped and dismounted with all of his gallantry, and he asked the homeless man, "Would you give me your rice?" The homeless man looked up at the prince, and he took out 3 pieces of rice and handed it to him. The prince said, "Give me my bag of gold." And you probably could guess it. They brought him the bag of gold, and the prince reached in and took out 3 pieces of gold and said to the homeless man, "If you would have given me the bowl, I'd have given you the bag." I tell you today, a turning point happens now, where we stop being satisfied with giving Him what's convenient. And we start giving Him everything. Because at that moment, that's when God says, "I promise I can trust you with everything." Honestly, one person a week coming to Christ is not going to do it. Come on, how many of you are not satisfied with one person a week? Would you just be honest? It's okay, don't be honest. How many of you are not satisfied with 5 people a week? I'm not satisfied. If 100 people a week come, I'm not satisfied with that. But would you say, "Lord, open big doors so that not by the hundreds, but by the thousands, let people come to Christ"? That's a miracle, ladies and gentlemen. And God still does those things. Come on, it's time to stretch our faith. For the Bible says on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people got saved without a PowerPoint or a microphone. Come on, somebody. If He could do it then, He can do it now. Imagine if 3,000 people came to Christ. I'd believe it'd be some of your sons and daughters. I believe it'd be some of your parents. I believe it'd be some of your neighbors. Would you pray now? The only way it can happen is an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Would you now begin to pray right out loud and say, "Lord, fill us with the Holy Ghost"? Would you please? Nothing will do it without a fresh baptism of the Spirit of God. Would you now? Oh, Lord, do it now. Come on, pray as if you were asking for healing, as if you're asking for blessing. Would you right now let there be a sound of strength? Lord, fill your church one more time until tongues of fire set upon us, until we're filled with old-fashioned power that makes winning the lost like breathing, in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, I pray now that you would do what you promised. You said in the last days you'd pour your Spirit out on the old and the young, the women and the men, the boys and the girls. And God, you said the greater will be greater than the latter. Lord, let us see a harvest like we've never seen before of salvation, miracles, signs and wonders, open doors, open opportunity, and shake this state, Lord, with your mighty power. Come on, there's got to be a cry, church. That ain't going to do it. Come on, let there be a desire. There's got to be a desire. Lord, start with me. Start with my home. Start with my family. Start with my business. Start with my ministry. Start with my road. Start with my life. Oh God, do it, we pray. Come on, is anybody hungry? That's what I want to know. If you are, begin to go after God. Say, "Lord, I'm hungry. I'm hungry for this power. I'm hungry for this compassion. I'm hungry for a revolution of power."
Come on, church. Come on, church. Let the fire catch. Let the coals catch. Let it go from section to section, row to row, person to person, from the floor to the balcony, from the balcony to the floor. Come on. Let it go from husbands to wives, wives to children, children to dads. Come on. Grandparent to grandparent, single person to single person, teenager to teenager. Come on, somebody. Cry out and spare not. Lord, light us on fire. Lord, light us on fire. Come on, Lord, light us on a Holy Ghost fire so that we can reach and teach and heal like never before. Come on, until we can't live without it, we will. But if you get to the place that I can't live without it, you won't have to. Somebody cry. Have I got a board member that's hungry? Have I got a Sunday school teacher that's hungry? Have I got a grandparent that's hungry? Come on, have I got a businessman? Have I got a businesswoman? We have any Bible college students? I wonder, where are the hungry people? They're in the building today. Begin to say, Lord, use me the way you want to use me, in a mighty and a powerful way. Do it, Lord. 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 I belong. I'm yours. I give myself.
Give myself to you.
Hallelujah, we mean business today.
My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you. Oh, my life is not my own.
Lord, we're hungry today.
To you I belong. I give myself to you. Oh, my life is not my own. To you I belong.
Yeah.
I give myself to you. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you.
I give myself away. I'm yours, Lord. Do anything.
So you
do the supernatural.
Can use
make
me.
Us a light in dark places.
I give myself away.
Let our homes be homes of revival. Let our workplaces be places where your light shines.
I give myself away. So you can use me.
Be inappropriate to leave without prayer. Would you find somebody to pray for right now? You don't know. As laborers, we need to encourage each other. Reapers need to encourage each other. Would you find somebody right now? Just begin to pray for them right now. Pray a fresh anointing of God. I look at Greg down here. He wants to yield his life. I'm going to tell you, God wants to use every willing vessel in this. Without question, there isn't a vessel today that God does not want to use. Your miracle is in your ministry. Your breakthrough is in your ministry. Your household salvation is waiting on your obedience. But if you do it, get ready for God to do the unimaginable. Come on, begin to pray for one another. We need each other. We're all we got. My holy Lord, I pray a mighty move of God in us. A mighty move of God. A mighty move of God. Jesus. Jesus, send us to the highways and the byways. Send us to the low places. Send us to people that nobody cares about. Send us to people that everybody cares about. Send us, Lord. Father, as you sent the Son, would you now send the church in mighty supernatural power? Hallelujah. Glory. Glory, glory. Come on, pray till that person's burden is lifted. Pray until that person has been delivered from that heaviness, until joy becomes their strength in the name of Jesus. Come on, begin to pray their healing. Pray, God, heal their marriage, heal their children so that they can have a strength to heal the people they're in touch with. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Jesus, use me. That song, Jesus, use me. Jesus.
I feel an old-fashioned consecration type of service here today. See, I grew up in altar calls for hours, yielding our lives to Christ. I tell you today, it won't take less of it. Perhaps it will take more of it. I think there's some things that we don't do as much of, which is good, but there are some things we don't do enough of, which is bad. That's weak. I'm going to say it again. There's some things that we do more of, we don't need to, but there's some things that we don't do as much of that we need to start doing again. Come on, sing it, Heather. This is beautiful. Just consecration before God.
Use me, and oh Lord, don't refuse me. Surely there's a work that I can do. Crumble, though the cost be great, I'll work for you.
Oh, isn't that beautiful? Sing it, church choir.
Jesus, use me, and oh Lord, don't refuse me.
There are miracles and blessings in your life
for surely
for other people.
Oh, that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. Though the cost be great, I'll work for you.
Come on, everyone is a minister today. Sing it, church, from your heart.
Jesus, use me, and oh Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there's a work that I can do. Crumble, though the cost be great, I'll work
for you. People giving their lives to a lot of stuff, but Jesus is worth giving your life for. Come on, make it your prayer.
Jesus, use me
at home, in a job, on the ball field, in the classroom, on media, everywhere.
For surely there's a work that I can do. Humble, help my will to crumble.
Blessed me.
Though the cost be great,
blessed me.
I'll work
more of you.
For you.
God's doing something here to free people up.
Jesus, use me.
A simple old-time prayer.
Oh, Lord, don't refuse me.
God's not looking for less people. He's looking for more.
For surely there's a work that I can do.
We're not afraid of that word anymore. The work of the Lord is worthy.
Even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. Though the cost be great, I'll work for you.
I think you should be singing that with a sense of joy. I got a purpose. I got a reason to live. Gee, you've got a reason to live. Don't end your life. Don't give up on life. There's a reason that God's got you here. Fulfill His purpose. There's a work
that
you can do. We're called to do. It's the harvest.
And even though it's humble, Lord, help. my will to crumble.
Holy Spirit is here.
Though the cost be great, I'll work for you.
I love that line. And though the cost is great, come on, I'll work for you. If you really believe that, just stretch your hand toward heaven and saying, yeah, Lord, I'll pay any price. I'll pay the price. I'll do what it takes to be used by you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, you know, the water pipe, if water goes through it, the pipe gets wet as well. And when God uses us to bring joy, guess what? We get some joy. Come on, smile a little bit. I can't take it that long, man. When we bring healing, guess what? We get healing. Come on, man. I can't take this. When we bring deliverance, guess what? We get freedom. When we bring purpose, guess what? We get purpose. I can't take it long, man. I can't. You need that flesh-killing type of thing right there. That's what we got right there. I guess that flesh is not... I'm going to make a decision. But after you've made that decision, guess what? Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord, He is my strength. Watch me. I've never met a depressed employee of God. I'm going to say that again. I said, I have never met a depressed employee of God. I've met some depressed, unemployed people. But when you get employed in the activity of God, great strength becomes yours, and you begin to feel the joy and the strength. I don't mean to sound ugly, but why would God heal you if you're not going to do His will? Why would God provide you if you're not going to do His will? But if you're going to do His will, why wouldn't He heal you? Why wouldn't He free you? Why wouldn't He take care of you? And I don't know about you, but how many of you say, I'm determined to do His will? Amen. I'll live every day God put for me on this earth. Lord, bless your mighty people today. Thank you. We're growing. Roots are going down deep right now. We can't wait to see the fruit of it. Bless, I pray, your people in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. I love you. See you.